Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for, weathering, if you will, the rain. Vance Havner once said it takes 900 gallons of water to baptize a new convert and 9 drops to keep him home on a Sunday morning, right? And so, but happy Mother's Day to the mothers that are here today. And I just want to acknowledge that. I know for some today's kind of a mixed bag, but we do want to celebrate, you know, those who were our mothers, and we want to celebrate those that are raising children and trying to do so in a way that would honor God. Several years ago, I bought my wife on Mother's Day this card. And, you know, I took my time and I wrote in the card because she can tell when I'm in a hurry and when I put a lot of thought into what I'm saying. But I bought her a card on Mother's Day and I bought it a couple days early. I thought, man, this is good. She's going to know that I put some thought and intention into this. And so I went out and bought her a card and I wrote in it. On Mother's Day, I gave her the card. She opened it up. She goes, first thing she said to me wasn't, oh man, I'm so glad to be your wife and the mother of our children. And this is such a beautiful card and the words just have so much meaning. First thing she says to me was, you know, you bought me the same card last year. I said, no, I didn't. I said, girl, you know, I've got Fort Knox up here and I remember everything. And I can tell you right now that there is no way on this earth that I bought you the same card 2 years in a row. So I went to my file cabinet where we keep things like that, and I pulled it out, pulled out the year before, same card. But then I pulled out the year before that, same card again. I bought her the same card 3 years in a row, and I said, well, you know, I just wanted you to know I meant it, you know. And so anyways, happy Mother's Day. And today we're in Psalm 127, and I just want to let you know we're beginning a new series. And just as you turn there, all cards on the table, Psalm 127, I want you to know I'm not an expert in parenting, and I'm certainly not an expert in marriage or family or anything like that. Listen, Lifeway is not calling me to write any books on this topic. I'm just going to get that out there right now. In fact, when I was being interviewed for the position here at Southgate, the search team asked, you know, how our family, you know, how we do life as a family. And my wife and I, we had just gotten back from a trip the day before, but a few days before that, we're at a resort in Cancun and we're having dinner, and all of a sudden our phone goes off, and our youngest, she's not in here now, so Brianna, and she was FaceTiming us. So I answer the phone, and Brianna says over the phone, yeah, I shaved my eyebrows and while we were gone out of town. And what she did, if you guys are familiar with Vanilla Ice, you know, millennials and Gen Xers will know what I'm talking about. She shaved lines in her eyebrows, right? Because that's cool, and it's what's trending on TikTok, which I don't know how she knows that because she's not supposed to have TikTok, but she told me it was cool right now. And I'm in the middle of a restaurant eating what is supposed to be a romantic dinner with my wife on our 20th anniversary, and I'm losing my marbles on her, right? Because it's just, you know, when you have children, you're hoping they don't do things like that, right? And so, anyways, I told the search team, I said, I have 2 funds. I have 1 for college, and I have 1 for therapy for all the weird things I'm going to do to mess them up before they leave our house, right? And so, I'm not an expert on this subject, but I do know that the Word of God can give us timeless principles that will help us build a foundation to raise up a generation that know and love Jesus. Amen? And so, we begin this new series called Raise Them Up, and we want to take the next 4 weeks to discuss how you can grow successful as a parent and as a family. And I want to encourage you, whether you're joining us online or whether you're joining us in person, we want you to make a commitment to join us each week with your family, because this could be important and could really transform your family and impact the future of your kids. Now, one of the benefits of COVID, and I know that sounds strange to say that, but one of the benefits of COVID was that as a nation, we were able to just pause. We were able to stop for just a moment. We were able to have, there was no extracurriculars, there was no sports, no club things going on. We really just stopped and was able to spend time together as families. And what's unfortunate is that now that COVID is, we're coming into the tail end of that, we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel, we're just falling back into the same patterns that we had before this all began. And so I hope that as we go through this series, we can pause and consider what God wants us to do and how God wants us to be as families and as a church to raise up a generation that know and love Jesus. So read with me in Psalm 127. The Bible says, Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates. Now, Father in heaven, I just come to you this morning, and I'm reminded once again of what we're doing here today. And what we do here is eternal. It's significant. It has a lasting value to it. And the last thing that anyone in this room needs is a motivational or inspirational talk or self-help silliness. Lord, what we need more than anything is to be pointed to the Savior, Jesus Christ. We need our lives and our hearts and our homes to be built on the foundation of your word. And we ask that you might do that today and in the weeks to come. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this passage teaches us that children are they're a gift from God. They're not an imposition. And while some may think they are, our children are not an imposition. And if anyone should advocate for the sanctity of human life, it ought to be the Church of the Living God. In 2018, there were over 387,000 abortions that were committed in our nation. And so if anyone ought to lift up the sanctity of life, it ought to be the people of God and the Church of the Living God. Because God gave children as gifts to be an inheritance to his people. They're not a burden, but they are a reward, and families and churches have the potential to teach them what it really means to live life fully for God. You see, we have the opportunity, we have the potential to teach our children what living really is all about. We get to teach them about eternity, and much of the Christian life is about defining success. And when we talk about defining success, what we mean is we define success from a kingdom perspective. Because as Christians and as followers of Jesus Christ, we ultimately live for a different kingdom. We live for eternity, and we live to honor, and we live to please God. So success for you and me as followers of Jesus Christ, success for those of us who are Christians, is defined by living for a kingdom that will live on forever. So we look at things differently. We look at it differently when it comes to our finances. What does it really mean to be successful in our finances and in our money? We look at our marriages differently, and we look at our families differently. We define success from a completely different paradigm than what the rest of the world does. But most parents I know and most parents that I've met want to give their child every chance to succeed. Most every parent that I've met, they want their child to succeed. In fact, you want your child to thrive in the world. And so here's what we do. We enroll our kids in sports, we push them academically, and we sign them up for extracurriculars because we want them to have all these experiences. But I want you to know today that we fail if we focus, if we fail, what we fail when we choose to not focus our faith on God. As parents and as husbands and as wives and as moms and dads, we fail our families, we fail our children when we choose not to focus our faith on God. And so here's the big idea today, and that is this: every family has failures. Every family has failures. But our focus is what defines and directs us. Our focus, what we choose to focus on. Our focus will not only define what success is, but it'll direct us in the days ahead, whether or not we achieve success or not. But we must choose to make sure that the plans that we have for our kids are focused well. And that begins with a successful home focusing on God. A successful home focuses on God. And we see that in verse number one. It's very simple, nothing profound here, but in verse 1 it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And so what is really meant by building a house in this passage of Scripture? Well, the writer of this psalm gives us some imagery that explains the approach to building a successful home. He gives us some imagery here that helps us to understand what it takes to build a home that will last, that will sustain the storms of life. And while we don't want to necessarily go into all the imagery that's there, the idea is this: The point is attempting to build a home without God is a vain pursuit. Attempting to build a home without God is a vain pursuit. Now, here's the good news. There's no perfect home and there's no perfect parents. All of God's people said, there's none. In fact, the Bible is filled with stories of dysfunctional families. I mean, the Bible's littered with families that are just completely jacked up, completely messed up. There's families in the Bible that were way more messed up than yours. So the question is, do you parent with the perspective that your kids belong to the Lord first and have been entrusted to you and His purpose and glory and not your own? You see, most of us think, oh man, we got a kid, we have children, and so these kids are going to, they're going to make me proud. They're going to do right by me. And in reality, what the writer of the psalm is saying is like, no, your kids are given to you as a gift from God to steward in their life so that the reputation of God and the renown of God can be made known, not your name and not your success. Paul Tripp said it this way, God didn't give you your children to build your reputation, but to publicly proclaim His. A home built without God will end in failure, and if you attempt to build a successful family without God, it will end poorly, and it will ultimately end in disaster. So a focused faith, a faith on God is the only hope our children have in the future. Because the reality is that every one of us know that there's going to come a moment in life where your kids face disaster. They face difficulty. They face adversity. And ultimately, at the end of the day, they are going to stand in need of the divine. And if they have not been taught to know and love and follow God, their whole life will be shattered. So raising a generation that will set their hope on God, as Psalm 78:7 says, requires much more than just a commitment to love our children. We need wisdom. And we need wisdom that can only come from God Himself. Now let me ask you this morning, because this might help us to draw a picture, paint a picture for us today. But how successful would it be for your child to achieve their dreams of attending the right school, landing the right job, marrying well, only to forsake God at the end of their life? What kind of success would that be? If your kid got into the right school, got the right job, married the right person, and then at the end decided, I don't need God for my life. So this morning, for the Christian, success is teaching your kids faithfulness to God. I'd love to see my kids, and they were in there this last service, but I'd love to see my kids come through the door after school and talk about how God worked through their math test, declaring their deep love for our family and jumping right into their share of the household chores with gladness. Amen? I got a woohoo on that one. Man, I'd love that. But since we're not there yet, Psalm 127 must be true. Because see, our family desperately needs the Lord to build out our family and to make our home a home. Because we have a house and we have a roof over our heads, but we need so much more. We need a focused faith. We need a faith that's foundationally built on God Himself. Raising kids is no joke. I mean, I remember in 2005 of January, our little one, Ellie, was born 16 years ago. And you know, as parents, the days are long and the years are short, right? The days are long, but the years are short. And it just seems like yesterday we brought Ellie home from the hospital. And April gave birth to our firstborn 16 years ago. And so on that day, I brought the car seat in, and it was a snowstorm, and we finally got the roads cleared, and we were getting ready to go home, and we were going to put Ellie into that car seat, and it just blew my mind that they were going to let me leave the hospital with a human being. Like, it just blew my mind that they were going to entrust me with that. But raising kids is no joke. God's here to help, and life is so much better when you focus on God, and you make Him the foundation of everything, specifically, and most significantly, when you make Him the foundation of your family. And so a successful home focuses on God, but it also focuses on the gospel. And we see that in verses 3 and 4. It says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Children are, and look at what it says here in this text, verse number 3, children are a heritage of the Lord. And what that means is this, they carry on our faith. That's what it means that our children are a heritage of the Lord. They carry on our beliefs. And so, they carry on our values. Our children carry on our love for God and the gospel and or our lack of love for God and or the gospel. You see, the primary responsibility of the church and the home is to teach the next generation the gospel. And if our children leave our home not knowing the gospel, listen to me on this, we have failed. If our kids leave our homes and they do not know the Savior, and if they do not know what it means to walk in His love and to walk in His forgiveness and to walk in His grace and to be a person on mission, we have failed our kids. And it doesn't matter if your kids know how to hit a ball or shoot a basket or swing a club. It doesn't matter if they can sing the right tune. It doesn't matter if they make the National Honor Society. If our kids do not know, love, and follow Jesus and know His will for their lives, we have regrettably failed our kids in ways that we may never understand until we step into eternity. See, the gospel has the power to shape every area of their life. And so our inheritance, or our heritage, if you will, is our kids knowing and believing the gospel. That's the heritage. That's the inheritance that we leave behind. It's not the 401k. It's not the living will or the living trust. Yesterday, Friday, I got my second COVID shot. And we got those, and we're trying to do our part, and hopefully we're going to travel overseas, so we needed to get them anyways. And so I got my second one. April had no side effects from that, namely probably because she's right with God and I'm not. And I mean, it hit me at 11 o'clock yesterday, and I crawled into bed, and I didn't get out the rest of the afternoon. I called the kids in, and I got the will out, and I read my will to them. Just as God, I said, kids, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I said, when I'm gone, make sure that Mom uses this picture for her eHarmony profile. I want to make sure that she marries well. We do. We have a living will and trust. I'm 40 years old. And on a regular basis, I ask my kids, like, who do you want to live with if we're gone? You know, and that kind of changes, you know, from year to year. But our heritage and our inheritance is not what we leave behind in terms of stuff. The heritage and the inheritance is pointing them to Jesus Himself. Because the gospel goes beyond salvation to sanctification and actually to service. It defines everything that we are and everything that we do. The gospel teaches us to forgive and live sacrificially in the same way that Jesus did for those who He loved. And so J.D. Greer says the home is where kids see the gospel lived out and they learn to believe in its power. You see, our kids learn to believe the gospel less by how we articulate it, and more by how we treat other people, especially those who live under our roof. When our kids were coming up, 5, 6 years old, I don't know where they got it from, probably my wife's side of the family, but they'd be mean to each other. And they'd take each other's stuff, and they'd swat at each other. And from a very early age, I began teaching them the great commandment to love God and what? Come on, love God and what? Love your neighbor. And I would say to them, and they'd get, I mean, at 5 and 6, they were little smart alecks. And they'd say to me, I'd say, who's your neighbor? And they'd be like, the guy next door that brings us pizzas sometimes, because he owned a pizza store. And they'd say, oh, the guy next door. I said, okay, well, who's a closer neighbor than that guy? Well, Sissy is. And I said, so how are we honoring God by not loving our neighbor? And that's the reality, is that we got to teach our children the power of the gospel, not by how we say it to them, but how we actually live it out. Do they see in us unconditional love? Do they see graciousness? Do they see faithfulness, forgiveness, and generosity that we tell them that God has for them in the gospel? We tell them that, but do they see it lived out in our lives? When you think about leaving your children an inheritance, does the gospel top the list of what you'd like to pass down to them? I imagine in many families and in many homes, there's certain things that you pass down in the family, and you say, oh, I'm going to give this to you because my great-great-grandmother gave this to me, and she gave it to her great-grandmother, and then her grandmother, and then your grandmother, and then my mom. And so are we passing stuff, or are we pointing them to the Savior? Because that's what it means to live out and focus on the gospel in our homes. Are you praying for them to develop a passion for the gospel? I want to just say this, and I don't want to be mean to anyone, but you cannot introduce your children to someone that you personally do not know. And I'd imagine there might be someone in here today that you don't know that you're right with God. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. You don't know that you have a home in heaven. And you certainly, if you don't know those things for yourself, you certainly can't pass them on to anyone else, including your children. And it does no good to tell your children, do as I say, not as I do. And so this morning, if you have not personally invited Christ into your life and began to develop a relationship with him, and I would say to you this morning, man, it's one thing to come to church, but it's a whole other thing to know and love and follow Jesus Christ. So you can't take someone to a place that you've never been. You can't introduce them to a person that you don't know. You can't walk with them through life with Jesus if you're not doing that yourself. I want to talk to our grandparents this morning. You know, there's a richness I would imagine to being a grandparent. I mean, I think being a grandparent's cool. You know, when I went into ministry, I didn't want to be a student pastor, namely because I just didn't want to deal with parents, you know? Parents can be a little weird sometimes, and, you know, their kid never does wrong. And so I wanted to be a college pastor. I took the college students to camping one time, and one of the kids, I think, bought like a flamethrower or something, and the park ranger came out, and my wife said, are you going to get out of the tent and deal with that? I said, no, they're grown. I told them, if they get popped by the police, they're calling their parents. I'm not dealing with it, right? And so I just thought that'd be cool. And it's kind of like being a grandparent, you know? You get to watch your kids, and you get to, you know, see them go through all the stresses that you did, and you get to kind of mock them for that, and then just love on your grandkids and buy them a bunch of stuff, right? I mean, that's kind of the goal of being a grandparent, you know? Just love on them a little bit. But I want to say there's a richness to that. But your role isn't just spoiling them. In fact, your role as a grandparent is to reinforce their faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, that's how you create a legacy. That's how you build out a legacy. You reinforce the faith that you gave to your kids that are now being passed on to your grandkids, and they see that, they feel that, they sense that, and they follow that, and they want that in their life because you have such a deep, deep faith in the gospel. So grandparents, instead of giving them stuff, I mean, give them stuff, right? And if you don't have grandkids, you can, you know, adopt mine, right? But instead of giving them stuff, listen, point them to the Savior. Point them to the Savior. Point them to Jesus. The greatest gift that you can give your spouse, the greatest gift that you can give your kids, the greatest gift that you can give your grandkids is a heart that's dedicated completely to Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift. Dedicate your life and your heart to Jesus Christ and let your family see it. And then the last one is this. A successful home focuses on God. It focuses on the gospel. And then lastly, it focuses on the goal. Verse 4 says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. An arrow is shot to a target, not an open field. There's a direction that it's intended to go. And I would write this down, please. Many parents are shooting at the wrong targets. Many parents are shooting at the wrong targets. In fact, if your target isn't faithfulness to Christ and faithfulness to the gospel, in the end, one day, likely that'll be the biggest regret of your life if you're not aiming your kids' heart and lives to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the purpose of an arrow? Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to South America, went and took the gospel to an unreached people group, a people group of men and women who were actually cannibalistic in nature, and ultimately he gave his life for the gospel. His wife would later come, and the wives of the other missionaries would later come in, and they would share the gospel with this entire village of men that took her husband's life and led the entire village to Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot says, he said this to his parents, explaining to them why he would leave a promising career in the U.S. to serve as a missionary. He said this, what is a quiver full of but arrows? And what are arrows for but to shoot? So with the strong arms of prayer, draw back the bowstring and let the arrows fly, all of them, straight at the enemy's hosts. You see, the problem is for most parents is that we treat our children more like accessories than we do like arrows. We treat our children more like accessories more than arrows. You see, for many of us, we're proud of our kids. We're proud they're a National Honor Society. We're proud that they're on a travel ball team. We're proud that they're doing this, and we're proud that they're doing that. But I'm going to tell you, if you keep celebrating the wrong things, there's going to come a day when you regret the reality that you did not point the heart of your children to Jesus Christ and the gospel. You see, when we treat them like accessories and not arrows, we not only stump their development, but discourage them from finding God's plan altogether. J.D. Greer says it this way: our kids were given to us for the purpose of mission. When you accept the call to Jesus, you accept the call to missions. That's the truth that should shape the way we raise our children. Now, this week, my daughter came home from, she's a student at Kickapoo, and she's a one of the JV basketball players there, and she came home, and the coach told her, said, "We don't want you missing any practices this summer," and that's just a rule. And so she just went up to the coach and said, "Well, I'm not going to be here every time that you have practice, because I'm going on a missions trip to Chicago, and I'm going to youth camp with my church, and I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to be doing that." Why? Because there are some things that are just more important than sports. There's just some things that are more important than academics. And I know that sounds crazy, but there are. There's just some things that are more important than that. And I'm not saying that every kid needs to be called into ministry to be a missionary or to be a pastor or to be a full-time vocational worker, but every kid needs to know that there is a world that is lost and dying and going to an eternal place called hell, and that they are a part of God's design in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. And they need to understand that that doesn't start when you become an adult. It starts the moment that you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm certainly not trying to elevate what we do in our home, because we do not always get it right. We are not perfect by any means, but there are some things that we are going to elevate and say, this is what's important. This is what's significant. This is what we're going to value. And this is, as a family, what we are going to be about. And I want to encourage you in that today. You see, as a church and families, we want to disciple our kids to live on mission. We complain so much about politics. We complain so much about how the world is unraveling and we live in a godless society. But as Christians, we live our lives and we value the very same things that people that do not know and follow Christ, we do the same things that they're doing and yet expect a different result. The church should walk hand in hand with families and drive the gospel deep into the next generation. Because listen, programs aren't the answer. A program isn't going to save your child. Only a person, and his name is Jesus. Each of us must be committed disciples of Jesus, and that must bleed over into all that we do. Listen, I don't know if this is landing with anyone today, but my primary calling in this life is not the pastor of Southgate. It's not April's husband. It's not the dad to Ellie and Brandon. My primary calling in this life is a disciple of Jesus Christ. When it's all said and done, the only thing that will matter in eternity was, did I follow Jesus Christ and live out his calling on my life, whatever that might be. And so for you and for your family and for your children, the only way to prepare them for eternity, the only way to prepare them for the life to come, is to prepare them to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. So what is the goal that you should be aiming for as a parent? According to a recent survey in Family Perspectives Ministry magazine, it said 85% of Christian parents admitted that while they acknowledged they were responsible for their child's spiritual development, the vast majority were not personally engaging in any activities that might guide their children to spiritual maturity except taking them to church. And friends, I want to tell you, that should not be said of the moms and dads and the grandmas and grandpas that attend Southgate Baptist Church. There are so many opportunities for you to plug in and to get connected and to see your child raised up as a follower of Jesus Christ, to see your child raised up as a young person that wants to live on mission and to fulfill the calling on their life. I like what Andy Stanley said back in 2013, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but it might be someone you raise. And you have no idea the young person that's in your home that you're raising right now. Listen, man, I grew up in a messed up home. And if you ask most of the people that I grew up with and most of my mentors, I mean, it kind of blows their mind that I am able to be a pastor and be in the ministry today. You have no idea. Several years ago, I went to Chicago in 2004, 2002. We went and took our first ministry position. And I was getting ready to preach, I think on a Sunday night, and I ran into this lady. And I had no idea who she was. And then it dawned. I was living in Chicago. It's been almost 20 years. And I run into a lady by the name of Jill Malcolm. And Jill Malcolm was my Sunday school teacher. And she was my Sunday school teacher in Winter Haven, Florida. And she was a young woman at the time, single, and she every week faithfully taught a class of like third and fourth grade boys. And I remember to this day, she was teaching through the book of Judges. And I remember she told the story of the judge that went in and stuck a knife into the stomach of the fat king, and he turned the knife and then he climbed out and everybody thought he was going to the bathroom. You know, I remember that as a kid. And here I am, 20-some years old, and this woman who was faithfully teaching the gospel to a class of, you know, hodgepodge young boys had no idea that one day she'd be sitting under my preaching and under my ministry. I want to ask you, wouldn't you think that'd be rewarding? If you'd give your life to raising up young people and the next generation to actually push back the lostness in the world in which we live. So regardless of your child's vocational calling, their mission remains the same, to become and make disciples of Jesus Christ where they are. And I want to say a word to our kids today, the ones that are sitting in here this morning, our little ones, our students, our college students. Listen, kids, life isn't about you. You are not the center of the universe, but you were designed by God to live for eternity. So pursue with your parents a life that is truly successful. Not a life that is comfortable, but a life that is successful. And I want to encourage you, find something worth living for and lay your life down for it. We're so enamored by the Tom Brady's and the Kim and Kourtney Kardashians, and we want fame and we want recognition and we want to be the next trending thing on TikTok, when in reality, God wants you to just plant your life in a town and in a neighborhood and point those that are far from God, point them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing in life will be more fulfilling. And so I want to say to our young people, your life has purpose and it has meaning. Don't waste it on things that do not matter. To our parents here today, I want to say there's no foolproof way to parenting. It's a fool's errand to think that there's a foolproof way to doing this. Our only hope is to cast ourselves and our kids and our lives on the mercy of God. You see, because the gospel does not depend on how well or how much we've done as parents, the gospel depends on whether or not we rest in Jesus' finished work on the cross. Faithfulness to Christ should be and must be the focus of every family. It's like I said in the beginning, every family has failures, but it's our focus that defines and directs. So this morning, I want to encourage you to take time to pray with your family that you'd move forward. Every family fails. Every family has missteps and setbacks. But you can move forward in faith, focusing on what will make your family successful and making it successful in the right ways, in ways that honor God and really matter, and what will really matter in the life to come. Now, I know some of you are here today and you say, you know, my kids are older. My kids are out of the house. I don't have kids around anymore. Some of you are here today, and I know Mother's Day for many can be a mixed bag, and our hearts empathize with that, and you don't have children yet. And maybe there's some here today that you're not married and you don't have children in your home. But if you don't have kids, think about ways that you can walk hand in hand with the church and other families to make disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, my girls aren't in here this hour, but I'll say this. We, as a family, have transitioned fairly well. But if you could just for a moment imagine a 15 and 16-year-old moving to a new town or a new city in the middle of a pandemic and not really being able to meet other kids. My oldest told me the other day, she's like, Dad, I need to meet some friends that I don't go to church with. I said, how come? She goes, because I need somebody to complain about you too. You know? But you know, there's a young woman in our church. She's in the service right now. And she, a few weeks back, she just took my daughter out for coffee and she spoke faith into her, and she just spent some time with her, and she was discipling her. And can I just say to you this? Listen, I don't imagine that she said anything different than I would say to my kids, but because she's younger and cooler and hipper, right, she's going to listen. And so single adults and those of you without, listen, this is a group project that we're doing as we raise our kids, because parenting doesn't just involve biological parents. It involves faithful servants who volunteer to serve in kids' ministry, student ministries. It's those who take a young person out for a cup of coffee, people who have a desire to pour their lives into a generation that desperately need Jesus. And our world is changing at such a rapid pace, more so than any time in history. And our children need solid biblical voices speaking into their lives. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, because we're a community of faith and a family together with God who are fulfilling the mission of making disciples of Jesus, and so we're in this together. Can I have you bow your heads this morning and close your eyes, and I want to pray with you today. How many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, we want to be a family that's focused on God, on the gospel, and on the right goals. Would you pray for us this morning? Would you lift your hand and just let me pray with you this morning in that matter? Pastor, we want to be a family that's focused on God, focused on the gospel, and focused on the right goal. Lift them up, hold them up. Let me pray with you in this morning. Amen. And in just a moment, as our worship team comes, I want to encourage you. In the first service, we did this, and we had several families just kind of spread out over the front of the platform here, the altar. And we want to encourage you to come and grab your family by the hand, grab your kids by the hand. What better day than Mother's Day? And man, if you're a grandparent, grab your grandkids. Come and pray with them. Lay hands on your kids and give them to God. Ask God to protect them. Ask God to unfold His eternal plan in their life. Pray over your kids that they'd live life fully, that they live for eternity, that they live for what really matters. Pray God's blessing over them. I want to encourage you to do that today. I know it's super awkward sometimes to step out of a church service like this and do it, but I'm going to tell you, God will honor you in that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let's all stand together. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ today. God, we live in a world that's really messed up. And I don't know a parent in this room that wouldn't say they don't need God's grace in their life. And if we did, man, how arrogant would we be? More than anything, God, we need your grace. We need your guidance. We need the Spirit of God on our lives, on our families. We live in such a fast-paced, fast-changing world. And Lord, I pray that we'd humble ourselves. We'd step out of our pride, step out of our own plans. And God, that we would just move in the direction that you want us to move. And so God, just help us to be sincere in our faith, focused on you. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.